in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. So what I'm going to do tonight, this is lesson 2 of the series that we started last week. And this is a series that Pastor and I do every year around this time on stewardship. So we started it last Wednesday night. I'll do tonight, and then he'll do a couple of more Wednesday nights. It may not be next Wednesday that he continues it, but I know he's got 2 or 3 more Wednesdays between now and Mission Stewardship Conference when he'll be talking about stewardship. So I thought I'd start tonight with just a little pop quiz, because most of you were here last week. It's going to be easy, though. You're going to be able to figure this out. So 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own?" Verse 20 says, "For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Didn't you love those tests when they were like open book tests? And you could like flip the pages and you could find the answer. And if you highlighted the right thing, it'd be really easy to find. So here we go. According to this scripture, who do we belong to? We belong to God. We belong to God. You guys are good. Man, you guys are really sharp. So the next one, I'm not going to put the scripture up there then. Matthew chapter 25 last week, and we didn't read the whole thing because Matthew chapter 25 is the parable of the talents. And so we referenced it in the Bible study last week. We didn't read the whole thing because it's a lengthy passage as well. But I dare say most all of us are familiar with the parable of the talents. So here's the question. How did the servant with the one talent displease his master? He buried it. He hid it in the earth. He didn't do anything with it. Man, you guys are on it. You didn't even need the cheat notes. And then in Romans 14, chapter 14, verse 12 and verse 13. So Paul is writing to the church in Rome, and he says, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." So the question here would be, are we going to be accountable to God? Yes, we're going to be accountable to God. And that second verse here is important too, because we're not going to be accountable to anybody else. We shouldn't be comparing ourselves to anybody else. We should be comparing ourselves to the Word of God. And that's what's determining whether we're lining up. That's what's determining whether we are living our life in such a way that's pleasing to God. So we are going to be accountable to God, the scripture establishes. And we don't have to worry about anybody else, really. We shouldn't be judging one another anymore, the scripture says. But just judge this. Don't put a stumbling block. You know, don't be a hindrance to your brother or to your sister. Amen. And so last week we talked about 5 basic money management principles. We called them transcendent money management principles because they have been the same from the beginning of time. They are unchanging. Anybody remember any of them? Man, God bless you, brother. I did not plant him. I didn't remind him of that right before service or nothing. That is good. Proverbs 13 and 11 says, "Wealth gotten by vanity." If nobody could have came up with this, then I would have pulled the scripture up and said, okay, here's the answer. But he's got it. "Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase." And so that first money management principle is spend less than you earn. And what is implicit there is you need to earn something, yeah. Right? Yeah, if you're going to spend less than you earn, you got to have something coming in. And work is blessed and ordained and created by God. Work is not something that came about because Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. If you look in the book of Genesis, you will find that God created the earth. He created mankind and placed them in the garden to dress it, to tend it, to take care of it. All of that was before the fall. So don't be mad at Adam and Eve because you got to work a job or two or do whatever you got to do. No, God created. We were made to work. We are more happy. We are more content. We have more self-esteem when we are being productive. And so it's an honorable thing to work. You got to work. You got to make a buck. And then spend less than you make. So pretty easy stuff here. The second one. Anybody remember a second one? Did you take notes? He's looking at his notes. He's cheating. No, that's a good student right there. That's a good student right there. So the second one being is avoid the use of debt. In Proverbs 22 and 7, it says, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. So the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. And we're going to talk in more detail about debt tonight and about how that you're a servant to it. Man, if you got debt, you got to make that payment, you know, and it's just hanging over you. It's a burden to you until you get rid of that. Avoid the use of debt. The third one, Brother Fernando, build margin, save. You got to save. And we read in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6 through 8, telling us to look at the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, no overseer, no ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. So in time of plenty, the ant is gathering it up because they just kind of naturally know there's going to be time when there's not going to be as much plenty. And so we find principle established in Scripture that we should be living enough beneath our means so that we can put a little bit back, because the refrigerator is going to break. You know, washing machine is going to break. You're going to have to call the plumber. It was several years ago, maybe half a dozen years ago. Christmas was a Sunday or Monday, and on Friday, we had this big plumbing leak. Cost $1,200. Man, that's a big plumbing bill. That hurt. You know, and you got to do it. There's like water going everywhere. You know, you had to turn the water off. You couldn't do anything but fix it. It was a two-day fix. We didn't plan that, you know. And so we find in Scripture we should build margin. We should save. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. What was the fourth one, Brother Fernando? Set long-term goals. And so Paul is writing to the Philippians there, and he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so we see him establishing this principle of setting a goal. You should set goals in your life. And we're coming to the end of the year, and some people say, well, I don't like to make New Year's resolutions because I never keep them. Well, if you keep them for 3 months, that's better than nothing, right? So I would encourage you to set some goals. You know, we were talking about stewardship, but we should set goals in all areas of our life. And stewardship is much more comprehensive than just finances. And Pastor is going to talk about the different areas of our life that, stewardship is so important in. But we should set long-term goals, and the Bible gives us direction about that. And then the fifth, give generously. And so the Bible says so much, talks about so much, about the importance of us giving back, certainly in tithes, but also in offerings. And we read some scripture about how God considers it that we are robbing him. And in Malachi chapter 3, and they answered, the Israelites answered and said, well, how are we robbing you? You know, we didn't break into your storehouse. He said, you're robbing me in tithes and offering. And when you give them, test me, try me, and see if I don't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that you can't contain it. And he goes on and gives us understanding that when we withhold those from God, then the rest of what we have is cursed. And so we talked some in great detail, certainly last year. I think we just touched on it maybe last week. You know, you can do more with 80 or 90% of what God has blessed than you can do with 100% of what he's cursed. God doesn't need your money. He doesn't need my money. He owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. So that's biblical terminology for everything. Everything belongs to him. He, you know, I don't care if you got $100,000 in the bank or $1 million in the bank. That is a pittance. That is just nothing compared to the resources that our God has at his command. So God doesn't need your money, but we need to give our money, because our money is very important to us. And when we give, then we are acknowledging his lordship over our life. We are acknowledging the truths that we read in Scripture tonight, that indeed he owns everything, and we are just stewards. He's given us this small portion to steward, to manage, to take care of. And if we do good, if we follow biblically established principles, then he can trust us with more. And if we do good with that, then he can trust us with more. Amen. If we could see the live, give, grow chart, we talked about this. The colors don't come across that great in here, and it's a little easier to see. Anybody remember what I said was the most important thing about this chart? God owns it all, right there in the middle. It's easy to see. So live, give, grow chart. This is the only, every dollar that you spend falls into one slice of the pie here, falls into one of these categories. Either we are spending it, and I got my handy dandy laser again. I always wanted to use one of these, you know, in church. It's like, I get to use a laser. My mom would have beat me when I was a kid if I'd have brought one of these to church. And now I get to use it as much as I want. She's not here. Don't tell her. So every dollar that we spend falls into one of these categories. Either we're using it to live. So this is, I don't know, what do you do when you live? And it's a different answer for all of us. Some of the things have some commonality. You know, we pay the light bill. We pay the cell phone bill. We buy some Starbucks. And so all that falls into here. We may have some debt. So we may have a mortgage. Maybe have car payments. Maybe have credit card payments. So that falls in here. We got to pay some taxes. We don't have a lot of control over the taxes, and it would be very easy to curse the tax man. But in fact, if we're paying taxes, that means we're making money. So taxes are symptomatic of the blessings of God. And I challenge you to think about it like that. We should not be shirking paying our taxes. We ought to be paying up right up front. We shouldn't be spending the tax man's money, just like we shouldn't be spending God's money. They're symptomatic of the blessings of God. If you got to pay taxes, that's because of God's blessings upon your life. You're making money. The grow is the saving. We find that established in Scripture. And then we have the give slice of the pie. All of these areas compete with one another. So these are the only ways that you can spend money. Every dollar you've ever spent, every dollar you will ever spend, falls into one of these categories, and they compete with one another. So if you don't have enough for one slice of the pie, and you feel that you would like to save more, or give more, or pay down debt, but there's just no way to do it because there's no money left at the end of the month, well, what's the answer? God bless you. Yes, spend less. Yes, spend less. That's where you should go first. And it may be that you say, you know what, I can't do that. And I would challenge any one of us, and you don't need me to tell you how to cut back in your own life, because we all spend money in different ways. But I would dare say every single one of us could figure out some place to cut back in our life if we needed to. You know, might be different for me than for you, but there's different, we all waste money. And so that would be the first area we should look at. If we're wanting to get rid of some debt, and we're gonna spend most of our time talking about that tonight, this is still just kind of review from last week. Or if you're trying to pay some back taxes, or if you'd like to have a little reserve for when the plumbing bill comes right before Christmas, or if you feel like you're really not doing what you should be doing, in giving, then you might find some place you can cut back. If there is absolutely no way that you can cut back, then what's the other answer? You gotta make more money. You either gotta spend less, or you gotta make more. And say, oh, well, that's not balanced, because then I wouldn't see my family as much, and I might miss church every once in a while, and there's a lot. You know what? Sometimes in our life, you got to do what you got to do. And it's biblical to be a good steward. And so if you have dug yourself in a hole, then sometimes it takes a while to get yourself out of that hole. You know, it's not just praying about it and saying, God, help me. And God will help you, but this is an area where you got to prove yourself a good steward. You got to take care of business. You got to do what you need to do. So there's been times in my life when I had three jobs, and my wife had three at the same time. So that's six of them between the two of us. Was that fun? It was a long couple years, you know? But little by little, over a period of several years, we had spent more than we were making, and so we ended up with some big credit card bills. And the sad part was, it wasn't like we went and bought something that we could show you what we bought with that credit card. But it was just like, you know, if you made $3,000, you spent $3,200. You know, and then the next month you made $3,000 and you spent $3,200. And then Christmas time you spent $4,000. And then 5 years later you owe $50,000 in credit card debt. And how in the world did I get here? That took a while to, I didn't file bankruptcy. That's an ethical thing there. We paid it back, you know? And so, we proved ourselves to be a good steward. It was our debt. We were responsible for it, and we took care of it. So we either got to spend less or you got to make more. Sometimes the combination of those things is what it takes. Okay, only five things you can do with money. They always compete with one another. And the biggest determiner of financial freedom, and Sister Lori, if we could look at that cash flow diagram next, the biggest determiner of financial freedom is answering how much is enough for that top wedge, that live wedge. Because the natural inclination, if we get a pay raise, is to go out to eat a little more often, maybe buy a nicer car. You know, it just kind of goes. It just kind of fritters away. And God, in the abundance of his blessing, he gives us more. But if we don't have a plan, and this is very natural, this is not just you, it's not just me, we don't naturally know these things when we were born. We are not naturally good stewards, I would say. It is very natural to just spend that increase without ever realizing it. Whether that increase is $200 a month or $1,000 a month. You know, it's very easy to go from a $300 car payment to a $500 car payment. And then the car insurance goes up a little more and you eat out a little more often and you're still not paying down the debt. You still haven't really been able to save and you're still not giving like God convicts you and tells you in your heart that you should be. And so, what's the answer here? Let's see where I'm at on the cash flow diagram. This is a typical cash flow diagram. May not be you, but I would dare say it's the typical American's cash flow diagram. So we get some income. We have a job. Maybe we have two. Maybe our spouse works as well. And then we spend it. We live. All the things that come with that. We pay some taxes. You know, some of it that is withheld from our check before we get it. If they don't withhold enough, then we get a surprise on April 15th and, you know, we got to pay some more. Or if we're self-employed, you're having to make quarterly tax payments. So you got to pay taxes. And we're repaying some debt typically. That might be car payments. It might be credit card payments. It might be washing machine payments, whatever it is. And oftentimes then, by the time you do these things, you live, you pay taxes, and you pay some debt. Hopefully it's more than the minimum payments do, but you're already at a cash flow deficit. That means you're already at negative in the checkbook. So then what's the most easiest way to fix that is a little more debt. You know, we still want to go out to eat, right? Everybody goes out to eat on their birthday, and so it's just, you know, and so we put it on the credit card. You know, we've been planning this trip, you know, for 3 months, 6 months, and we'd have to give up our deposit if we cancel the trip. So instead of losing the $200 deposit, we go ahead and spend the $4,000 on the trip that we don't have, and we just put it on the card. You know, how smart is that? But that's reality. A lot of times that's what we do. So then we incur more debt, and all of that results in us being able to give less than we feel like we should be when we are endeavoring, and our intent is to be a good steward. And all of that together, end result is we have no ability to meet long-term goals. So long-term goals might be being a better steward, giving more, paying off debt, saving for retirement. I know a lot of people, you know a lot of people that are retired and have nothing but Social Security. If you have another choice, you would rather that not be you. Because Social Security was not designed to meet all of our needs. And so that means there's a responsibility on me and you. We got to be putting some aside. You say, well, I can't. It takes everything I get to live. Well, you need to either spend less to live or you need to make more money. It's the will of God. It's biblical principles. Okay, so very typical cash flow diagram. Yours may not be like that, but most people in America, I would dare say, is. There's no or little giving, and there's increasingly larger amounts of debt, little by little, year by year. In fact, I read a statistic this morning, 80% of Americans have more debt than assets. That means they have a negative net worth. They have more debt than assets. And so debt just becomes a way of life. And we think there's no other way. You can't live. You can't be an American and not have debt. And so let's take a little closer look at that. In Proverbs chapter 22 and 7, and we read this a while ago, but let's put it up again. It says, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." Borrower is servant to the lender. And I think we understand that. But look at the first part of that verse. "The rich ruleth over the poor." And I was looking at that and thinking about it. And then I thought, well, two stocks that have done really, really good this year. It's MasterCard and Visa. So if you put $10,000 in the stock of MasterCard a year ago, you'd have $16,000 today. 60% return in the last 12 months on MasterCard stock. Visa stock didn't do quite as good, but it's over 30% this year since January 1. So if you put $10,000 in the stock of Visa, it would be worth over $13,000 today. So why do you think that is? Because there's a lot of people paying Visa and MasterCard 15, 20, 25% on an annualized basis. And then if there's late penalties and this and that, they're probably paying 40% if you actually figured in those payments and interest payments and penalty payments on top of it for being late, or them trying to take it from your checking account and there not being enough there, and then you get penalized by the bank as well. Stock's doing pretty good because the rich ruleth over the poor. Debt has to be repaid eventually, you know. It's got to be repaid. The Bible in Luke chapter 14 says, "For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" And so we should count the cost before borrowing because it's got to be repaid. And maybe part of that is asking, are there any other options? You know, before we decide to, God forbid, get a payday loan or a car title loan or put it on a card or buy furniture on credit and say, well, that's the only way I can get it. Well, you know what? The first year of my married life, my wife could testify to this. We had two, what they call papasan chairs, because they were the bamboo chairs that I bought when I was in the Air Force in Turkey. And so they had the little cushions on them, bamboo papasan chairs and a kitchen table out of my parents' garage. And a bed out of my parents' garage. Not like a dresser or nothing like that. No, we were thankful for a bed. And so that was it for the first year. We had a three-bedroom house. It looked really big. It was a small three-bedroom, but it looked really big because there was no furniture in it. And we got our first tax return after that. And, hey, you know, taxes come out better when you're married, right? You have more dependents. And so I think we got like $1,200 back. And what did we buy? We bought the dining room table and china cabinet that we still have in our formal living room. We wanted good stuff, right? It was secondhand at the time. So this is 1988. We paid $1,200 for a at the time it was about 30 years old, so now it's 60 years old. We've been married 32 years. We still didn't have a couch, but we had a nice table, you know, really nice oak table. And I think a few months after that, we actually bought a used couch from another guy that was in the Air Force that I think that used couch made it the 6 years in Belgium and maybe 3 or 4 years here in Santa Maria after we moved here. Honey, how long we had that couch in the family room? It came from Costco. It came from Costco, but that was the first new piece of furniture that we ever bought. Living room furniture, I should say. We did buy another wooden cabinet in Belgium that was new right before we left. Whatever you call it. We had been married 20 years by the time we bought our first new couch. So I'm not saying you should do that. So let's get back to this. I'm glad. It works really good, too, and it's still good. I think my wife's wanting to replace it now because we've now probably had it 10 years. But it's still good. It still works. Costco has good furniture. Where are we at? Debt's got to be repaid. Are there other options besides incurring the debt? Could I get by with something secondhand? Whether that's a car, whether it's a, man, it's easy to justify too. If I buy an old car, I'm going to have to fix it, so I might as well just have a payment. Well, you know, figure that out. Count the cost. Count the cost. Because when we take on debt, any kind of debt, we are making an assumption upon the future. You say, well, I can afford the payment. Well, you are assuming that next year you can still afford the payment. And whether you're living for God or not, the economy still goes up and down. So when we stick our neck out and we're buying something on credit, you know, we're kind of sticking our neck out. So count the cost. Are there other options besides borrowing money? Do we have a guaranteed way to pay this debt off? All that being said, borrowing is not a sin. I don't want you to leave here tonight thinking that Brother Drosick says borrowing money is we shouldn't do it. I'm just saying what the Bible says, and that is we should count the cost. And this is all in the context of understanding that who owns it all? And we're just trying to be a good steward with what he's entrusted us with so that he can entrust us for more. Borrowing's not a sin. Debt, so a difference between debt and just borrowing. Debt is the inability to repay what you have borrowed in a timely fashion. And so debt most often is indicative, debt that you cannot afford to repay is most often indicative of some spiritual problem. As almost always symptomatic of a spiritual problem. Borrowing destroys our testimony if we can't repay. And so whenever we borrow, again, we're making some assumptions about the future. There's always that chance that things happen, and what we can't afford to make a payment on today, we may or may not be able to afford to next year, 3 years from now, when we're still paying on it. So borrowing destroys your testimony if you can't pay. Six kinds of debt: credit card debt, consumer debt, mortgage debt, student loan debt, business debt, and investment debt. You know what? There is almost always somebody that will lend you money at increasingly higher interest rates, but you can almost always find somebody that will lend you money. And why do you think that is? They're going to make some money off you. If we could see that, Sister Lori, that amortization calculator, one example, I thought about trying to actually do it in real time because this is a simple spreadsheet calculator that I have, and you can throw in all these different possibilities. Some of you, I've sent this before, and if anybody wants it, you let me know, and I can email it to you, and you can play around with it yourself. But in this example, I said if someone owes $10,000 and they're paying 24% interest, you know, their payment highlighted here is only $220 a month, but it would take them 10 years to pay it off at $220 a month. You know, $10,000 is not necessarily a big amount, but if you're only able to make a minimum payment, it's going to take you a long time to pay it off. And by the time you've paid it off, $26,000 is what you've actually paid at that 24% interest rate. Isn't that ungodly? That's like, man, that's a lot of that's a lot of money. So, but let's take that a step further. When we borrow money, that money is coming to us tax-free. So if you get a loan for $10,000 like this person did, they didn't pay any taxes on that. They got the money tax-free. But when we pay money back, we're paying it back after tax. So that means you got a job and you made that $220 a month, that whole $10,000. Well, you had to make $26,000, right, with the interest in this example. But if you're in a 20% tax bracket, and you're paying it back with money that's been taxed, right? You got paid, they withheld some taxes, or else you wrote a check at tax time. So that 20% is subtracted from what you have to repay the loan. And if you're a good Christian steward, at least 10% for the tithes is gone out too. So you got to make 30% more than that $26,000 just to pay back that $26,000. So when you do that, that $26,000 turns to $37,000. So for this $10,000 loan, that was very easy to get, 15 minutes in the guy's office, you know, signing here and signing there. By the time you're said and done, you got to make $37,000 to pay that $10,000 back. And remember that thing that was right in the middle of that live, grow, owe chart? It all belongs to God. So then that should be our check. You know, we should be looking at these kinds of things. Borrowing's not a sin. Sometimes that's your only option. But we should be asking these questions and doing it with our eyes wide open and saying, am I being a good steward? Are there other options? If I've got some debt, I need to take care of it because I want to prove myself to be a good steward to the Lord. Because I'm confident there is not one of you in here tonight that would say in this example, whatever this $10,000 was for, as necessary as it might have been, in this example, spending $37,000 to pay back the $10,000 that you borrowed is not the good use of the master's money. What else could have been done with that? So many things. We built a church in somewhere in Africa this year for $4,000. There will be hundreds of people, if not thousands of people, that come to know the Lord because of that little $4,000 church. That because so many of you gave at our mission stewardship conference, you know, you're a part of that, and God bless you for it. Thousands of lives changed for all eternity. We're talking about the eternal way to, we're stacking up treasure in heaven because you sacrificed a little bit and we built a church. in a less privileged part of the world that is changing the eternal outcomes for thousands of people's lives, as compared to we bought something that we really didn't need with money we didn't have to impress people we don't even like. That's the way somebody put it. So there's better uses for that money. We want to be a good steward. We want to be a good steward. I don't want you leaving tonight beating yourself up, because we all got some debt of one kind of another. But I do hope that we all leave with our eyes open a little more, and maybe with a fresh desire and understanding that, you know what, I should get rid of that. I should do everything I can in 2020 to knock it down, to chip it down, to work away at it. And I can testify to you and so many others of you can as well, that when we make a conscious, focused, sacrificial effort to do more in this area of our life, God blesses you in ways that you can't even imagine. When we got serious, and I had a master's degree in business, when we literally had $50,000 in credit card debt at one point in time, that just little by little, some of it was business related because I was doing some things in real estate at the wrong time, and you know, we got caught short here and there. $50,000 in credit card debt, and here I was supposed to know what I was doing in finances. You know, I had to learn the lesson the hard way. It took a while to dig out of it. So I've been there, but I also know and can testify that when you make a conscious effort and you decide to, you know, appearances don't matter anymore, you're going to do what you got to do. If you got a car payment you can't afford, then you got to get rid of that thing. And you got to drive a junker for a couple of years. I bought a pickup from my neighbor across the street for $800. It's a 1966 Ford piece of junk, but it was a second car, and I got rid of the one car payment that I had. I got it painted and put some wheels on it so it didn't look like I was, you know. But it was a hoopty. It was a hoopty. But when I got serious about, well, you know what, we got to do what we got to do because this stuff's not going away, you know, it was the very first missions conference that we had. So some of you will remember that. That was 20-something years ago. The first where we started having a missions conference every year, and we wanted to do something. We felt God leading us to do something, and we didn't have nothing. We had nothing but debt, you know. And here I had a master's degree in business. I'm supposed to be smart about this stuff. But we got to keep up appearances, right? So you got car payments you can't afford and, you know, this and that. God smote my heart. So I made some decisions. I quit my job. It was kind of related to that missions conference as well. I quit my job, went self-employed, convinced God was going to take care of us. And he did. But it still took a long time to dig ourselves out of that. But when we decided that we were going to make hard decisions and stop putting up a nice face and actually tell our friends in the church that we couldn't afford to go out to eat after every service, which was the custom at that time. There was a couple other families in the church. And we'd always go out to eat after service. So I put it on a card, right? It's pretty easy to do. Doesn't take long at all. Although sometimes you're praying, you know, it doesn't. You know, they don't come back and say it was declined, you know, and you're checking before church to see how much room you got before it hits the max. Yeah. But when we decided that we were going to get serious about it, then God opened up doors. Income increased dramatically. Things happened that we never anticipated. And I don't think all of that would have happened if we were still being bad stewards. Because that's what it came down to. You know, we tried to put positive slants on it and this and that, but the bottom line was we were living above our means. We either had to spend less or make more. When we made tough choices, God blessed it, God helped us, and we got past it. Thank God for that. Amen? He'll help you. If we could have the live, give, grow chart again, where are we at? 826. If you got debt, you got to get rid of it. You got to figure that out, you know? You got to spend less, so you can knock this out, and then that in itself is going to free up resources to do what you want to do and should be doing here. And this here is the motivator behind it. God owns it all. We're just stewards. When we understand that God owns it all, that makes every financial decision a spiritual decision. That's a takeaway. That's something to write down, Brother Fernando. When we understand that God owns it all, every financial decision is a spiritual decision. And when we understand that, that's going to help us. That's going to help us make better decisions. When we realize it's not our money that we're spending, it's God's money. God, would you have me to do this? Is this your will? And you say, well, you know, what are you doing talking, Brother Terry? You got some nice cars and take a couple of vacations a year. Yeah. But I got it covered over here too. You know, and when we find in Scripture, I mean, the Bible tells us that it is God's will that a man should enjoy the fruit of his labor. If he's being a good steward, then there's going to be room to do that. But there was a time when everything was here. They say the average American, 70%, 70 to maybe some even 100% right there. I challenge you to get it under 50%. That would let you give 20%. Give 10 to tithes and another 5 or 10%. Whether it's to the church or as God leads you elsewhere, you'd be current on your taxes. You'd be able to put some money aside for savings. And when you're a good steward, remember, God's going to grow the whole pie for you. He's going to be able to trust you with more. So I challenge you to that in this next year. If the musicians would come, who owns it? God owns it. The second biggest question, how much is enough? Up here, how much is enough? And so that just being a prod to us, a gentle reminder that as God blesses us, as he increases the size of the pie, we need to be judicial. We need to make sure we're taking care of business and not even realizing that we, you know, made $10,000 more last year than we did the year before, but yet we still have the same amount of debt. We didn't knock down any debt. We really didn't save anything. You know, we just spent it. All. So in Psalms chapter 24, last scripture as we stand, the first five verses in Psalms 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas. He established it upon the floods. So he created the seas. He brings the rains, brings the floods. He's in control. That's what the scripture is telling us right there. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who can approach God Almighty? Who can stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who's not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, they shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. And so stewardship really is a salvation issue. And again, stewardship is much bigger than just finances. But the Bible talks more about finances than about any other singular topic in Scripture, because it's an issue that everybody has, because our money is where we get our security. You know, we feel better if we got money in the bank, if we got money in our pocket, if the bills are paid, we just feel better. And so we get security from that. It was never God's will that we would rely upon our bank account, upon our investment account, upon our education, upon our job. It was always God's will that his people would depend upon him. And so that's why it's so important for us to give back willingly. One, we're acknowledging that it belongs to him. We're being obedient to his word. And when we give back, we are establishing, God, our trust is in you. I'm not trusting in this money. This is your money. God, if you tell me to give it all, and you better make sure you're willing to do that, if you tell the Lord that, I will give it all because it's yours, Lord. And when you hold on to it easily, you know, if you hold on to it tight, you can't fit anything else in there. But if you hold on to it loosely, God's going to make sure you always have enough. He's going to bless you abundantly. So I invite you to find a place to pray tonight, and let's just ask the Lord, how can I be a better steward today? How can I be a better steward in this coming year? It doesn't belong to me, Lord. I'm acknowledging that it's all yours. It is not my own. Everything belongs to him. Would you come? And let's spend a few minutes in prayer with the Lord tonight.
Believe it all, my dear. child.